Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. And how are we today, Bill?
I'm fine, Howard. Thank you. Still in lockdown. If you should catch any unusual background noise from our discussions, it's simply that I'm broadcasting from home in an environment which isn't soundproof. So please bear with me.
Yeah, well, we're all sort of doing that in some state of ours, aren't we? So
I'm
tell you,
so.
Yeah, 2020 has already taught us a few lessons, with one of them being we can never know what's around the corner. So let's look today at what steps we can take to prepare finances from life's surprises. So, Bill, let's start with investing. Stock markets can be unpredictable and uncomfortably volatile at times, even without a global pandemic. So how should investors structure their portfolios so they're in the best position to ride out a period of volatility?
Well, volatility, I'm sure everybody who has any investments of any nature will understand the different definition of volatility after the last couple of months in the stock markets. I think we can all agree that these are highly exceptional times in our lives. A year ago, I don't suppose anybody would have predicted the state of disorder that people and governments, no less, businesses and the markets find themselves in today. But it is true that in preparing your investment strategy at any time, you need to plan for what you know while trying to protect yourself as best you can from life surprises, sort of planning for the worst, but of course hoping for the best. Now, global coronavirus concerns have, as you know, impacted the markets enormously in an unprecedented way. And it's made things extremely uncomfortable for investors and investment managers and advisors and every Tom, Dick and Harry. Is this, you have to ask yourself, a bad time to invest? Should you hold on to your investments if you're already invested? And unfortunately, in trying to be as honest as I can, there are no simple answers, just good investment principles. It is worth remembering, however, that financial markets are inherently unpredictable, and they do move radically and swiftly in times of uncertainty. And with hindsight, these movements are often, in fact, almost invariably, when uncertainty reigns, they are almost always disproportionate to the real underlying risk. And when slightly more positive news starts to emerge, the market also then tends to move upwards very quickly. And it is those investors who run for cover at the first sign of trouble who, generally speaking, suffer the worst losses, and those who, in the words of Warren Buffett, are brave when others are fearful are the ones who end up making the best of the bad in these circumstances. So that if you look, for example, at the UK FTSE 100 index, I mean, that reached a high in July last year of 7,651. And by the 23rd of March, at the most serious point, I think, of concern and uncertainty in the markets, it fell from 7,651 to 4,933. That's a fall of 34%. One-third of the value was wiped off of the UK stock market. And many people thought, oh, there's more to come. Shall we run for cover? I understand panic and fear. Listen, I'm an investor too. And of course, I am trying my best with all the information at my fingertips to make the right judgments. But I decided, of course, like I would recommend Blevins Franks clients and other investors in properly diversified portfolios, to hold strong. Because since that fall of 34% on the 23rd of March, just 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks later, the market now stands at over 5,600. So it's increased in value, that market, by 13% in just 3 weeks. And it's now only just over 20% off of its high point. It's recaptured, in essence, one-third of the earlier fall. And it's not just the case in the UK. If you take the United States S&P 500, That got itself to a high of just under 3,400 in February of this year, and it reached a low point on the same day, the 23rd of March, of 2,237, a fall of about the same proportion, 34%. But since the 23rd of March, the market now stands at over 2,800, nearly 2,850, and it's therefore recovered almost 50%, 50% of the earlier fall, and now sits only 16% off of its previous high. Now, in the face of such uncertainty, that is not a bad result. And anyone who has had the bravery, the conviction, the confidence in their investment advisors, and I hope that includes all the clients of Levin's Franks, to stay the course, they will now begin to be the beneficiaries as the market moves through this phase and hopefully into a relatively medium to long-term recovery. I expected the recovery to take, you know, maybe a year, maybe in 18 months, but we've seen all this before. Back in 2008, the market fell by the same sort of numbers, and within 1 year, it was above where it was a year earlier. And so the answer is, I think it was Roosevelt back in the great crash of the 30s who said to his population in trying to persuade them to stay the course, he said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." And I think that's true of this moment too, Howard.
Yeah. Well, nonetheless, even with a well-structured portfolio, watching stock markets drop like that can be very worrying. Do investors need to be careful not to make decisions based on fear? And what can they do to prevent this?
Yes, I think I've said that already, that fear is not a motivator for making decisions. You need to be rational. You need to look at the logic of the way markets have moved in the past. And you need to ask yourself, is the world of capitalism dead? Of course it isn't. And the simple circumstances are the amount of money being pumped into the markets by various governments around the world, although that increases the debt and worries me a little. Nonetheless, that stimulus package, and the fact that there are investors out there, not least of all the Chinese, as I understand it, making serious investments at this moment in time. Indeed, if I can tell you that I spoke to a client just a week ago, I beg your pardon, that's not entirely true, on the 19th of March. And he said, "Look, I think I've got some liquidity in my portfolio. I'm keen to invest now." And I said, "Oh, I think you may be acting a little early." As it happens, he got it about right. And that day he invested a small amount of money, and then he said, "I'm going to invest 25% of my available liquidity over the period of the next 2 weeks." And by the 3rd of April, or was it the 6th of April, somewhere around the first week of April, so over a 2.5-3 week period, he invested 100% of his available liquidity. And at this moment in time, that individual portfolio, which he has amusingly called his coronavirus portfolio, that portfolio alone is up by 16.16% over a 3 week period. So when he takes his current depression of value within his main portfolio and adds back in the 16% he's just made, he's also reduced his losses. So he didn't base his decisions on fear. He based his decisions on buying good investments, good quality investments in decent companies, in decent funds run by a mix of investment managers who buy these businesses when the values fall low, like a bargain basement purchase.
Yes, indeed. Well, all this said, Bill, stock market falls can also be seen as an opportunity to buy shares at those lower prices. So what's your advice to those who are wondering whether to invest now or not?
Well, the client I spoke to is a seasoned investor. He's been investing for many, many years, and he felt that there was an overreaction in the markets, and we discussed it. I told him that I felt that he might be a little early, but he was adamant that he felt the market had bottomed out. I'm not sure it's bottomed out yet, if I'm honest, but I suspect that we're past the worst. And so the answer is, if you have been holding higher levels of liquidity in your portfolio than the cash you need to access in an emergency, this may be a very good time to put that liquidity to work at a time when investment prices are at their lowest level, in many cases for a decade, and they are not going to stay at that low level forever. You may have to wait a year or two to make substantial profits out of current investments. On the other hand, there is a tendency in the market once things start to look better. Look, we're talking now about Spain. and France releasing certain of the restrictions on construction and other areas. We're talking about the UK getting close to its peak, if not just at its peak. The circumstances are such that the moment good news comes out, you could easily see a 5, 6, 7, 8, even 10% hike in the markets very quickly. And it's often the people who wait a day or two too long that miss that first big bounce. And that once you've earned that money, it's in your pot pretty much forever. So it is worth considering your liquidity position now. And if you do have spare capital, this may, take advice, talk to your Blevins French partner, talk to your own investment advisor about whether or not that liquidity should now be put to work in your portfolio. And I think you may find yourself the beneficiary because, as I've said many times in the past, Howard, fortune does favour the brave, and you don't need to be terribly brave right now to think that the markets have sunk well below their true value, and that even with all the economic issues, I know we're going to face, you know, global recession probably, but nonetheless, if you're buying into high quality funds with decent management, you are going to end up being the winner if you are taking stakes now in well-run businesses.
Well, Bill, let's move on to Brexit, the big issue that was expected for 2020. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been adamant that the transition period will end on the 31st of December this year. But do you think the coronavirus pandemic could delay it now?
I think there's every chance that it will have to be delayed. MEPs from across the political divide have insisted that the UK should agree to a delay in order to avoid a possible no-deal Brexit caused by the various deferrals that have taken place as a consequence of this current virus pandemic. And, of course, none of us know how long it will take before that is under control. We may have, as the Public Health England have said, a second wave, much lower level, but nonetheless, is it safe to be gathering together in numbers to discuss these things, which are vitally important, but which are not necessarily worth the risk of human life? I mean, you're right, Howard. Under the withdrawal agreement, the UK has entered the transition period. It's going to continue to follow all the EU rules until the 31st of December 2020, and by which time both sides have said they hope to have agreed a trade deal. But it's pretty clear from many commentators in the UK and members of the European Parliament who say that the coronavirus has slammed the brakes firmly on the Brexit negotiation, and that the deadline is unlikely to be met. Some of the negotiators, not least of all, and I'm sure we're all happy to see his recovery progressing. The Prime Minister of the UK has been poleaxed with coronavirus in a very serious way. Michael Barnier has been sick and is still recovering from the impact of the coronavirus. How you can continue to expect a timetable to be met by the 31st of December? Remember, if you want an extension, it has to be requested by the end of June by the UK government. And indeed, there seems to be no indication of a request being made at the moment, but it would not surprise me at all. In my personal view here, Howard, it would not surprise me at all if common sense doesn't prevail. And given the delays and deferrals that have taken place, and not least of all the fact that a number of the individuals involved in these negotiations are themselves unwell as a consequence or recovering from the coronavirus, that those individuals have to be taken into account, and so do the delays that they have occasioned. It's pretty clear that in these discussions, a joint decision on both sides is going to have to come about within the next couple of months. Nobody in particular, not the EU, they can't force the British government to request an extension. But I heard a former EU commissioner, who was that? That was Danuta Hubrier, who is the Polish MEP. She said that it's also true that we've heard often official statements which were targeted to a domestic audience for political parties and benefits. And I think you'd have to be suspicious with all that's gone on that if a delay is not requested, if an extension is not requested, that it has to be to some extent to pander to the hardcore Eurosceptics. I hope and suspect that we will see a weakening of that position, and that the UK will have to come out of the European Union in a long timetable than currently exists. That's just my personal view. Whether it happens or not, of course, is out of my hands. But I think whatever happens, you should be prepared for a longer transition period than perhaps was first envisaged.
Yeah. Well, presumably people should carry on with their Brexit preparations to be ready for the end of 2020.
That's true. Of course it should. Because, as I say, this is my personal view. I've got no power over the politicians who make these decisions. The simple truth of the matter is that there are a number of very significant targeted opportunities available to expatriates. Now, in particular, I might say, in relation to pension benefits, where CureOps still has massive advantages whilst the UK remains a member of the European Union, which we know is guaranteed to be at least the 31st of December. But if you're in a position of wanting to transfer your pension, you need to get that plan in action now, because once the UK leaves the EU, there is every likelihood, as we've discussed before, that there will be a tax penalty to pay if you wish to transfer your pension outside of the UK, because the UK will no longer then be bound by EU rules, having left the European Union. Whether that would be the case in the event that there is an extension beyond the 31st of December will be part of the agreement that comes at the point in time that decision is made. But all eyes should be on the 30th of June, because by that date we will know whether there is to be an extension or not. If there isn't going to be an extension, there's going to be some very tired negotiators knocking around the UK and the EU for the last 6 months of this year.
Indeed. Let's move on, Bill, to look at estate planning now, which is always something that has to be done in advance. So what steps can British expatriates in Spain take to protect their heirs from Spanish succession tax and law, and to make probate as easy as possible for them?
It's a very good question, Howard, and whilst I would, on any time that you and I talk on the radio, I try to be positive and not morbid, but it is quite remarkable the number of people who have paid little attention to estate planning, but in the last couple of months, with the threat of coronavirus, and in particular for the retired community and those above the age of 70 who are in that higher risk category, we have had a significant number of requests to provide sophisticated estate planning in the face of the coronavirus, because of the risks it runs to the health and to the life of the individuals who now understand that without planning, you may be facing a situation where, in the event you lose your life, your family may also lose a substantial part of the wealth that you've accumulated during your lifetime. Spain, in particular, amongst European nations, is frankly a far more tax-efficient location than many people expect or understand. A lot depends, essentially, on the way in which you structure the possession of your wealth and the strategy that you then employ to minimise the likelihood of taxation. Spanish residents can, for example, they can unlock significant tax advantages for capital investments. But a lot of UK expatriates living in Spain overlook those opportunities, often in favour of retaining UK assets. And this approach often becomes less tax efficient and will become even less efficient when the Brexit transition period has ended and the UK government gains more freedom to tax citizens abroad. With much unknown about Brexit and when we are likely to unshackle ourselves, if I may put it like that, from the European Union, because that is the intention of the European, of the UK government, it is sensible at the moment to explore more locally compliant alternatives before things potentially change, even after Brexit. If you are a Spanish resident and you're subject to the forced heirship rules that require you to pass assets at the point of your death to your key beneficiaries as laid down in Spanish law, you can, however, if you're a UK national, apply the law of your nationality to your estate instead of through Spanish procedures. EU regulations, known as Brussels 4, allow you to select your nationality as the law applying to your estate. But you've got to be careful that whilst this would ensure your legacy is distributed according to your written wishes, it can have unwelcome tax consequences. And a number of expatriates that have approached Blevins Franks with regard to their estate planning have assumed that by selecting their nationality as the law by which they may make distributions of their wealth, that it has brought about tax consequences that they had not foreseen. And Spanish succession tax, as we said many times, is a complex arrangement. And, of course, it varies regionally. So it's difficult to give specific examples because it varies from region to region. It is possible for most people to restructure their wealth in a very simple manner to minimise the tax for your beneficiaries and even to ensure that they receive the benefits of your wealth, not only in the amounts you wish, but at the time you wish for them to receive it. And as I say, with careful, strategic financial planning, now is a good time to review. That should consider your investments, your tax and estate planning together. You will at least, despite the current coronavirus and the risks it runs, you should now at least be in a position of knowing that you've done everything necessary to make sure that your beneficiaries inherit the best quality value from your hard-earned accumulation of wealth, and that you can sit back comfortably and know that you've done the best for your family.
Yeah. Finally, Bill, how can expatriates mitigate the effects of Spanish taxation and prepare for any unexpected tax reforms that could affect them?
Yeah, that's true. I think what you need in those circumstances is a competent, qualified, regulated, independent financial advisor. Well, I suppose I would say that, wouldn't I? Who you develop a relationship with, who is always available, either by email, but often more importantly on the end of a telephone or even a personal visit to a local office, where you can actually discuss how you set up your arrangements, in what structure do you hold your assets to make sure that you have mitigated against the worst impact of current Spanish taxation, but much more importantly, to make a flexible strategy so that it is malleable to the point at which, when future changes in taxation take place, it is a fairly simple process to tweak whatever strategy you put in place to take advantage of any new changes, whether they're beneficial, or to defend yourself against changes when they're not so beneficial. And that's also true in setting up your portfolio. When you go to discuss your affairs with a Blevins Franks advisor, he will always know that there is a clear risk that at some point in the future, despite your current intentions, that the widow or the widower, for that matter, but more commonly widow, may decide within a couple of years of becoming a widow to return to the UK because that's where the family, the grandchildren, everything else are. So when Blevins Franks are preparing the optimum level of financial advice, there will always be in the back of their minds the idea that whilst you have said you wish to live in Spain for the rest of your life, because we understand that a vast number of widows and fewer, but nonetheless, widowers return to the UK, that will also be in the back of the mind of your advisor at Blevins Franks to make sure that if you do decide to go back to the UK at some point in the future, you will be getting the advantage of having been a non-resident for many, many years and take back advantages for your surviving partner and your family that will be enshrined in your wealth for the long-term indefinite future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose the Blevins Franks staff are working from home, Bill, but how can people get in touch?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first place for anyone who is not a client of Blevins Franks, of course, if you're a client, you will have contact points with your regular servicing partner, with your regular partner within the offices local to you. But if you're not a client of Blevins Franks and you would like to consider some of these things or discuss them with a qualified and skillful independent financial advisor, Blevins Franks are working from home. Everybody is at work. We have a few people who unfortunately have contracted the virus, but nonetheless, the rest of our staff are working from home. And if you call the office, they're checking into the office to make sure that anyone who leaves a contact number will get a call back as soon as is humanly possible once they have received your message. So if you want to call the office, feel free to do so. But if not, give the website at www.blevinsfranks.com a look and you'll find lots of solid information about all of the services that Blevins Franks provides, and you may find there something of interest that will encourage you to make that call.
Thank you very much, Bill. We're living in strange times, and I think your advice is very much welcome. Thank you very much.
That's kind of you, Howard. Thank you very much indeed. And I hope that all of our listeners stay safe and secure and out of harm's way as much as possible. The coronavirus has already affected my own family. My son and his wife and my grandson have all got the coronavirus. They're all looking okay, thank the Lord. But stay safe and look forward to speaking to you next week, Howard.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.